The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. Harry Tay Logan.
You ask this question every week, and I always like, what am I supposed to say to this? I'm good, Jordan.
That's what you're supposed to say. Nobody cares if you're bad.
I care if you're bad.
Feeling great.
Well, I mean, I'm not feeling great. I can tell you that. I was up till midnight last night.
Yes.
That's old for grandpa here.
Grandpa's home.
I'm not usually. Yeah. You are much better at handling the late nights. Like, I know I'll get texts from you, and I answer them in the morning, and I'm like, dang, Jordan was up late. Because you're like a night owl.
I'm usually up till 1.
Yeah, that's crazy to me, because if I stayed up till 1, I'd be dead. I'd be like, God, this is not fun for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess because I can kind of, I can operate on like 6 hours. Now, if I'm working from home the next day, like I can stay up till 1 easier because I can sleep for 7 hours and then wake up. So it's still like a normal sleep time.
Yeah.
It's just with all of this stuff that we're doing. The million podcasts I have, getting ready for the baby and stuff. It's like, when I sit down to finally relax, it's like 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, do I really want to go to bed in an hour? No, I'm going to go to bed in 3 and I'm going to relax.
Yeah. I've got a question for you. Are you going to be one of those dads that forces fandom on the kid, or if he comes home and says, you know what, Dad, I want to be an Inter Miami fan. Are you going to allow that to happen?
Yeah, he's out of the house at that point.
Okay. Okay. I just wondered because I know. You have different rooting. You have different alliances than your father does. But
well,
my dad.
That is because my dad, like for a while, soccer wasn't easily accessible here.
That's a good
right?
point.
So like we were both kind of getting into it around the same time where you could watch games all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a DC United fan because it was closer. There was no Union.
That makes sense.
I joined a little late in MLS, but like I had been watching it for a few years, but I just never felt the connection to DC that much. So then it was once the Union came, it fit.
Yeah.
Plus the Suns have been left a good impression on me because actually the first time I went to a draft, MLS draft, was 2008, and they were there in Baltimore, Suns of Ben, chanting, trying to get a team and stuff. So like that left a good impression on me. And then when it comes to like Chelsea, it was literally Michael Ballack was my favorite player. So I just kind of followed him to Chelsea because my first jersey was Michael Ballack, Germany 13. For 2006. But at that point, I don't know if my dad was that big into the Gunners because we just weren't like, it just wasn't on TV anywhere. Like you had to have Fox Soccer and that was on like digital cable. And we didn't really get that until probably 2008, digital cable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at that point, our allegiances were already struck at that point. So,
right.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, my dad has let me, you know, have the different rooting interests. But at that point, I was in high school, you know, it was already like so late. This kid's going to be wearing like Union gear the moment he's born. So he's going to be stuck with it. Same thing with O's and Ravens.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, yeah, you can't. Oh, gosh. Like I mean, I know your rivalry runs deep with Red Bull and them. I just
to Union fans, it does, but like,
so not Jordan's.
They're not, you're not a big threat. No, they're not a big threat. I don't really care.
Yeah, you're not really into the only rival that I've ever heard you talk bad about are the AL East teams and the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Yeah,
like you actively dislike them. Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Soccer, MLS has had a hard time with that, I think. They do have rivalry week, but I do think there's a lot of teams that they're okay with each other. Like
some rivalries, like I feel like what Union and Red Bulls are like, oh, yeah, we're a Philly fan and Eagle, yeah, like the Eagles and Giants are enemies, so we're enemies. Same thing with like why they don't like DC. It kind of feels like, well, the Commanders and the Eagles are enemies, we're enemies. They're like, for me, like this rivalry would hit more if like the Red Bulls had been more consistent. I know like they've had a lot of playoff appearances, but I mean like winning actual cups at the expense of us. And like, we had a great playoff match. One of our, well, I think it was like our first victory, right? Which was 2019, I believe, in the playoffs. And it was us coming from behind to beat the Red Bulls. And that was a big thing. But I don't know. Like, they just don't really feel like a real rivalry. NYCFC does. And I will call them that. Because, like, remember that game 2 years ago when, like, our trainer is, like, getting a red card?
Yeah.
Oh, that stuff was legit. And so is, like, our Cincy rivalry. Like, those feel more legit. So, no, I consider them more rivals than the Red Bulls at this point.
Yeah, I think El Clasico might be. And then Portland and Seattle, I think, are the big two that off the top of my head that I can think of.
You mean El Trafico, right? Because El Clasico is
Real Madrid and
Barcelona.
That's what I meant. Sorry, stop naming your rivalries after the other countries.
After the other places, yeah.
It's too close.
But we are here today to dive into match day 3, technically 2. I want to say I saw other people getting upset about this like I
was. Yes, it's confusing.
Because it is stupid.
Yeah,
it's confusing. Stupid. I'm sorry.
Yep.
When you have match week, somebody said the week should go, match weeks go from like Tuesday to Sunday because Tuesday is when they'll sometimes fit in another game, or Wednesday they'll fit in another game like they did for week one. There's no reason for that to be called match day 1 and 2.
That's true.
Because that means technically Saturday and Sunday should be different match days if Wednesday counts.
Right. Yeah.
So we're all in this. We're all in this mess just because they wanted to have first kick on Wednesday.
Yeah. People will, and people come after us on Twitter a little bit too. They're like, oh, no, you're wrong. It's match day 2. I'm like, no, it's match day 3, which is really funny.
I did that to you, Logan.
Yeah, I know you did. I know. I've had people come after me. I'm like, no, like, seriously, MLS has been calling it in their official press release. It's match day 3. It's match week 2. And it's really funny they call it match day 3, Jordan, because you had Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday. So technically, this would have been match day 4, which makes no sense because this is the fourth day there's been matches for MLS.
Right.
And then match day 5 would have been Sunday. It's so stupid. Why don't we just call them match weeks? That's what they call them in Europe. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Here we are again, making things more complicated.
Why don't we just call it? This is where you get messed up when you have like one uneven number of teams. So you have Vancouver, who had played 0 games until this week. And then you had Miami with 2 and RSL with 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's dive in to this week. And you know what I actually want to start with? Not the first one you have listed here. I want to start with RSL LAFC.
Okay.
The snow match. Originally scheduled to kick off at noon Mountain Time, which was
2 p.m. was like, Eastern Time.
What was it?
Yeah, 2 p.m.
Oh, it was
Eastern
2,
time.
Right? Yeah. It was 2,
it was,
and then it got
to line up
4.
With Minnesota. Yep.
And then they started and played for like 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Because originally it was high winds. All right, so let me tell you, I was not following this game at all. All right, so 2 o'clock, I turn on Minnesota-Columbus. I'm like, this is the one I want to watch. Then I see delayed high winds. I'm like, all right, great. I don't have to worry about that game right now. Minnesota-Columbus ends. I turn on the LAFC game, and they are playing, and then immediately the lightning strikes. And I'm like, what are the chances as soon as I turn this game on? So I walk away because my wife needed my help with something. So I'm like, all right, let me do this, and I'll come back for Miami-Orlando. That was the game of the week for me, Miami-Orlando. How wrong I was. And then I go.
It's a lot of disappointment.
So I come back upstairs and it's still off from the lightning. So I'm like, all right, let me flip over to the next game. Then, so I'm like, high wind lightning. Right? No mention of snow yet. Then, in the middle of this game, I get highlights of the RSL LAFC game, and it's like 10 feet of snow, and I'm like, what? It was high winds and lightning. When did the snow come?
It was like all of Mother Nature decided to show up to the RSL game.
So what I want to ask you, right?
Do I like snow? I don't know.
Tarundolo comes out and says, it's an absolute joke that we had to play today. It was one of my worst professional sporting events I've ever seen in my life. I feel terrible for the players that we put them through this. The game could have and should have been called off, in my opinion. It's a disgrace we had to play. By the way, today he was fined $10K for that remark.
Yep.
I don't know. I agree with him. We're in week two. Mm-hmm. Match day three. We're in week two of the season, okay? And this game did not have to be played. I don't care who won or lost. Watching this game and seeing them, this is an injury risk. How high the snow was, this is higher. It looked worse than the Costa Rica USA game from like 2014. Yep. Like this game looked like an absolute mess. And I love it. I love snow games. I enjoyed watching the highlights of this game. But if I'm a player on it, I'm like, look, we're not pressed up on schedule right now. Why are we playing this game when we already had two delays and then the snow comes in? This is not the last week of the season. We don't have to get this game in right now. I just don't get it.
Yeah. It is interesting because Pablo Mascheroni was quoted. Now, again, this is one person's take on what happened. It probably actually was not necessarily 100% accurate, but this was his take. I had a conversation with Steve and the referees before the game. At that point, we were all on the same page. Then you decide to start the game when it's snowing. There's little you can do. As the game wore on, it became less like a soccer match, and it wasn't the most desirable conditions for either team. But again, the winning coach. There were players, I think Diego Luna was quoted in saying that it was up to his knees. I was like, how do you play in that? Like the ball, it just sticks. And if you watch like Gomez score those goals, like it was wild to watch because it was such on like skates. It was like they were moving in slow motion. Because they didn't want to fall.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. I can't imagine it. And especially with the game so heavy on your feet and how injury prone you become when it is slippery and you're sliding around on those metal cleats. It was a bad idea. I think Jordan, after the lightning happened and it started to really come down, they should have just called it and said, you know what, we got 20 minutes in, we'll continue from this position at some other day. And usually what they'll do is they'll move that game towards the end of the season, or at least when they've got a break from League's Cup. Like if they both got a break from League's Cup, they would just play it. They would resume it. So I don't know why they decided to, or maybe in an international break they would play it. But yeah, I don't know why they risk player safety here and fan safety.
In week two, you know, like I said, it's not like I can understand if it's the last week.
Yeah.
You know, week 34, match day 57, whatever they're going to call it. Yeah. I understand like, if they're like, man, this is a special game. It's about seeding. We got to get this game in. Let's do it. But week two, I just don't get it.
Do you think it would have been different with the regular refs? Do you think it had anything to do with?
No, I don't. I think these are league decisions. So I don't think. I think fining him for this is dumb too. I don't know. That was a great. That was a great quote. I mean, like, what else do you want him to say? Like,
yeah.
I was watching highlights before I saw him say that, and I was like, why are they playing this game? You know, like, I get that they're, like, trying to, I don't know. I think when you find stuff like this, it's kind of dumb because this is what I want. I don't want, like, Trundolo to come out, but, well, we gave it our shot and just couldn't get it done today. I'm like, that's the most boring stuff we hear every single week.
Yeah.
Give me the good stuff. I will say, though, this adds a little layer to their next matchup against each other, I think, because they're going to be maybe a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. LAFC, anyway. 3-0 loss.
They played, yeah. RSL's really good. They've Chicho Arango scored. Got to do some snow angels against his former. That was fun.
Yeah, and he's like, I couldn't do snow angels in L.A.
So that's why I came to RSL.
Yeah, he's like, I love playing in the snow.
But they look good, man. I know it's snow game.
It's hard to tell. It really is with this type of game. But LAFC haven't been too impressive, right? They beat Seattle, who's still struggling to score.
Yeah.
And they've
lost RSL.
Lost to RSL. They've only played two, right? Yeah, they're not one of the teams that have played three. So at this point, you know, looking at the supporter shield, you know, everybody thought it was LAFC and Seattle going to be at the top for the West anyway. It may not be that, right? I know it's a hot start to the season, but Portland and LA and St. Louis and RSL and Minnesota are all above them. They all have 4 points. Topsy-turvy in the West. Okay. Anything else about this game?
Pablo Ruiz went on Instagram and announced that he's out.
Yes, that's right.
Due to a torn ACL that he suffered in training, and now that's two straight seasons that he's missed the whole season. That's too bad, man. He turned a corner, I thought, and it was playing extremely well when he went down. And I think they were really looking forward to seeing what he could provide with this team, because I think this team's pretty good. I think it's becoming one of the top teams in the West. So,
okay. Minnesota had their late equalizer versus Columbus. So I know during this game, you were tweeting a lot about how great Columbus was.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of look like vintage Columbus of last year, where they gave up some points. Right. In the second half, first 20 minutes were dominated by Minnesota. I was actually really impressed by how they looked. They just couldn't score. Crew score later on, but then we get Tani Oluwaseyi. If I said that right, I followed the guide that you
gave. Yeah, we get the media guide. So it's, I think it's Tani Oluwaseyi. Is how it's 90, a shaggy
90 plus 5 minutes, and this goal was really great. He kind of, like the announcer says, goes away from goal to like turn around, and you're thinking like, what is he gonna do here? And then he just blasts it in, like curves it in. It was really great.
Yeah, it you know whose goal it reminded me of later in the night? Ale Bedoya. Like, I thought they looked pretty similar the way they were similar, kind of falling backwards, and they both went, I think it was left footed.
Late equalizer?
Yeah.
For both of them?
It was, snuck it in back behind the keeper. It was great.
And again, Minnesota without any Reynoso, Halong Wayne, Laud, Fragapane, none of those players, and they draw MLS Cup champs. Like I said, they have 4 points. That's their fifth in the West right now. Because they have a 1-goal differential. The teams above them have 2 and 3 goal differential. That's the only reason why they're lower than the teams above them. But they've only played 2 matches, while RSL, who's at above them, as we know, have played 3. So actually, Minnesota off to a really great start here. When we did not think that was going to happen. But I will say, I'm still not bought in on this Minnesota team, because I feel like they did this under Heath a lot too, where like starting the season, they're like, whoopee, it's a new season, we're having fun. And then it's like that summer crash where you're like, we haven't won in 15 games. And you're like, what? You know, like that is kind of like some of the stuff they've gone through. So, it'll be interesting to see how it changes under the new manager and if he can kind of keep them above this line. And as they get some of these players back, if that really helps elevate them to be a team in the top of the West that I think they should be. Not like maybe squad-wise. I think squad-wise you could say so. But I think Minnesota is one of those teams that has like just such a great fan base a great stadium. Like, they should be taking advantage of that market. They should be taking advantage by actually being a competitive team. And I think with them moving on from Heath, they have a better shot of doing that. So I'm rooting for you, Minnesota. I may have put you like really low on the predictions, but I am rooting for you. I just feel like I'd be, don't want to get hurt again by thinking you guys are going to be good and then you guys suck. So jury's out.
Yeah, I think it's warranted to be hesitant about this team because of what they've done in the past. And you don't know what Eric Ramsey is going to provide for the team. And I will say this, though. Like, I think without Reynoso, without Illinois, without Lud and Fragapane, I thought they looked pretty decent. They controlled a lot of it. The crew, I think, created a lot more chances, but I think that's what you get when you've got a lot of those attacking players from Minnesota not being able to link up with some of the attacking players in the forward positions like Pukki. So I don't know. It was a hot team at the end of the season last year. I think adding in Reynoso back in, and where he'd been playing at a good clip with Pukki, with Elongwane, who I thought came a long way, with Robin Lud, who's, you know, one of the stars in this league. I think he got something in Minnesota's attack. Now, defensively, I don't know what that looks like. Dane St. Clair has not lived up to expectations in the past, but he does seem to be a little bit better this year. So, I don't know. You're right, Jordan. I think there's a huge question mark in Minnesota because we just don't know how this team – it could bounce either way. Like, this team could be one of the top competing teams in the West, or this could be one of those, gosh, what is up with this team? Like, they've got some good star talent. Why can't they put this together? So, interesting.
No worries about the crew, right? I feel like this is just one of those – it was away game.
Yeah.
Yes, you kind of gave up a late lead again, but as you've shown last year, you can get over that and win the cup. So, I mean, it's like you can't really fault that. I wouldn't, if I'm a crew fan, I wouldn't get too upset about this or anything. I think we'll still be okay most of the season here.
My hesitancy too is any team, even though they haven't competed yet in CONCACAF, they're still preparing themselves for CONCACAF. So I don't buy teams that are struggling right now in leagues play.
And what we'll say too, because most people will listen to this tomorrow, we're recording it on the 6th.
As New England's beating Alabama.
As New England, yes, is winning 2-0 right now. So maybe I picked the wrong team on that CONCACAF episode. You can go listen to that. But the Columbus-Houston game is tonight in about an hour after we're done recording. So by the time we're done recording, I'm going to be putting that on to edit this episode too. So while they haven't played yet as of recording, they will play tonight by the time you listen to this. So don't be like tweeting us being like, you said Columbus has not played in CCC, but they did. yes, before we record, after we record it. Okay. Let's move on to.
Oh dear!
I know what's next. We hinted at it. We hinted at it on the CONCACAF Champions League episode. Because sorry, CONCACAF Champions Cup. We talked about it on that episode, which we put up Monday, so you can go listen to that. We don't really talk about the league results. We're just solely focused on what happened in the previous round. And what's happening in the round of 16 and previewing those games. Most of those first legs are going on this week. Legs 2 going on like the following week or two. So we thought that'd be easier than like trying to fit that in this episode. And then timing wise, it worked out perfectly because we weren't available Monday. So then we would have missed being able to talk about it anyway. But you were very confident about them, Orlando, going into Tigres. I brought up on there, I wasn't so sure because of this game that we're about to talk about here, which is Miami 5, Orlando 0. Man, this was a rough watch. I think people know, not because of you, Logan.
Yeah.
But I think people know I have a soft spot for Orlando from even before we lived there. I remember watching. This is going to sound crazy. I remember going to Royal Farms to pick up a sub, come home and watch MLS preseason with my dad in the basement. And I had to plug in my laptop to the HDMI right? To put it on the TV. Yeah. And we're watching a tournament at Y World of Sports in Disney World. Yeah. And I think Orlando was playing in it as well as like a USL team. And they had like DC and like Philly and all these other teams. And I remember following them. I remember following Orlando when they were a USL team with Dom Dwyer and they were winning USL. So I, and Rich gave me, when we lived down there, a scarf of the, in 2013, a scarf of the USL side before that with the new with the old logo that, that you now rock on the jersey. So I have a soft spot for them because of that. And then we lived there in 2015. I went in 2013 and 15, but 15 inaugural season, I went to their game against Toronto. Me and Matt went. Yep. And Matt went with you again this year. And it was a lot of fun. They lost that game though. And it's just like the vibe around Orlando was huge. Like people were getting the free magnets on their car from a car wash in 2015. It was a big deal. It was a big deal. So it was a tough watch for me too. You know, my friend Dave is also an Orlando fan. So, you know, I was texting him about this too. Cause he's also a huge Barcelona fan. So he loves, you know, Messi and Suarez and stuff. So he's kind of conflicted with
Yeah.
But he stuck with Orlando. He didn't jump ship. So this was a tough watch just because we were both very high on Orlando. And I know a lot of people were. I'm worried they're not going to be able to score. I texted you this last night with the CONCACAF game. But I was like, are we worried about them not scoring? Because they've only scored against Calvary. They have not scored against Montreal. They did not score in this game. Even when Miami's kind of putting their foot off the pedal, they didn't really score. They didn't score in the first leg of this Tigres game when they had tons of chances, it felt like. I don't know. I'm a little worried. I know that they have to work in Muriel, right? And that's going to be something that has to happen. I don't know. I'm kind of worried about them. 5-0 was an embarrassment. And it was all, it happened all very quick. It was like, what, 4-0 before half or something? It was insane.
Yeah. This was easily the worst game I've ever seen them play. And Oscar Pereira said that, you know, we've got to be better. Like, this is not acceptable by any stretch of the mean. And
a rivalry game.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Oh, yeah, that they weren't up with. Yeah. And arguably the best, you know, I think the best starting 11 that, you know, this league's seen on paper. Whether that plays out, we'll see. But I think the biggest thing here was they were just so sloppy. And once it got down to 2-0, it became a road show. Like, it became the Messi and Suarez show. And there's not much you can do to stop that. Once you're down 2-0, once you go down 3-0 under 30 minutes, it was like, okay, this is going to turn into a circus. And it did. Last night, too, I was thinking about this. Like, what's going on? Like, what can the team do to create better chances and possibly create something different? And I think, honestly, it starts with Oscar Pereja looking at it, this team, and going, you know, maybe that double pivot doesn't necessarily work for this team, because I don't think they will lack creating chances. I think they'll lack in the sense of, like, they need more attacking forces going forward. And I think a double striker would make more sense, because they've got three strikers on the roster. And until Duncan moves on, you've got three top tier, I think, talented strikers. I think Enrique is a really good striker when given the chance. Muriel's going to figure it out. And you could see him starting to slowly figure it out yesterday, how to play with this team. The other thing, too, I think that fans will probably point to as far as Orlando's concerned is, like, well, yeah, they're not scoring goals and they're not creating as many chances as you would like. But you also have to remember that every other match, it's been a mixture of, so it's this off of, like, Martin Ojeda and Duncan play together, and then Nico Ladero and Muriel have been playing together. And then every once in a while, they'll flop them. And so I think that's a big issue, is not having a consistent number 10. And Martin Ojeda, I think, has played well enough to deserve at least a spot on the field, but so is Nico Ladero. So I think that's where the issue is going to lie. I think it's going to be that number 10 spot that I think we highlighted in the beginning of the year when Pereira out left. This team has lacked a number 10, creative number 10, since he, you know, Pereira was 3 years ago when he was doing well. He kind of dropped deeper last year. But it was too many dumb mistakes, and you can't do that against this Miami team. Like, you cannot we're used to in this league, Jordan, like you make mistakes, you lose 2-3 nil. When you do this with Messi, you're going to lose 5-0. Like, it's just the caliber of player he is. And I'm telling you, people are like, oh my gosh, Orlando sucks. But Miami's going to do this a couple times to teams. And they're going to go, you're going to go, what the hell? You forget just how good these two can be when they're going on all cylinders.
Yeah. Look, we both voted for, well, I don't know if you voted. Did you vote this week? Did you not have the vote yet?
No, but it would have been Suarez and Gomez would have been my votes.
So Suarez won player of the match day, which I did vote for. I also voted for Sean Johnson as my second, because he put on a great
performance. That's a good shout, yeah.
But 2 goals, 2 assists. Tough to beat for Suarez, and he probably could have had a hat trick, really. He was a little unselfish at times to be able to pass it off and make sure the goal gets scored. So everybody's saying that his knees were not going to hold up. He looks good. I mean,
especially this game.
Yeah, he looked really good. And he doesn't need to go 90, right? Yeah. Like, if he can do this in like a half and then get subbed out, his knees will be fine. I am a little worried about Orlando. They seem like a really slow starters for some reason in this
league.
Always
have been. Yeah.
It's odd.
It is.
But this, like you, I think you said it kind of at one point on text, so you may have said this a second ago, but just when it kind of gets to like 3-0, anything after that's kind of like, all right, like you can't judge it too harshly because,
yeah,
you know, the morale is gone at that point, but also it's like, what are you trying for? 3-0, you're not coming back. So it is what it is. Tough game for Orlando, but yeah, Miami looks good, right? So they're also going to be, they transferred Gene Malta, right?
Yeah, John Malta and DeAndre Yedlin, too.
Yedlin.
Who played in this match.
Yeah, he did play in this match. He got shipped out Sunday, the day after this.
Yeah.
Because we were recording our CONCACAF episode when that happened, and you might hear our reactions, like, I think it was live on there that we were talking about it, but they're bringing in Redondo, Federico Redondo, and they are linked to another player as well. So yeah, they're still making some moves. Gressel was great. Calendar looks good. It's hard to judge, though. Once you have Messi with a brace, Suarez with a brace, Suarez with 2 assists, it's like, how much can we actually judge how good, like, Drake Calendar looked, because I don't think he had too much to worry about. Something I noticed in the CONCACAF game last night, it felt like, I don't know how it felt for you guys there, right? But I could hear the fans like begging for somebody to shoot like 30 yards out. And the announcer was like, they're asking him to shoot. He's like, there's nowhere to shoot right here at 30 yards out. But I felt like that's because they almost seem to like try to walk it in. Like they get to the box and they're like still trying to find a pass and instead of just taking a shot sometimes. And sometimes you just take a shot and hope for a deflection.
Yeah.
Like I'm sure nobody really thought that Minnesota equalizer was going in, but he took a shot, right? Like sometimes you just have to take a chance. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like Orlando's holding on and not shooting enough.
It's something that, it's something that I think you kind of watched last night. And Tigres, if you're going to beat Tigres, right now is the time. They do not look good. They were actually really bad last night. Orlando just couldn't string anything together.
They didn't look like Tigres of old. Yeah.
Nah, it looks weird. And Gignac looks slow. Like they just looked really slow. Because I remember going to the game last year and it was like 3 or 4 minutes in and there were like 3 shots on goal.
Yeah.
I was like, this is going to get ugly. But it didn't. But I think Jordan, but you're right. Like I think Enrique has scored from a really good position against Calvary. Nico Ladero, like because they took chances, and Nico is somebody that'll take a chance, and I think he's your starting number 10 because he looked great last night.
Yeah,
he looked vintage, Nico. But I think you've got to find strikers, and Muriel did something last night that I don't think many of their strikers had been doing. And then Duncan comes in and started doing the same.
Yeah.
They were much more aggressive from shooting out from around the outside of the box, which sometimes you got to do. And you, you know, Duncan's not going to beat you because he's not super quick. Muriel's a little quick. So he'll get in behind. And then Enrique does the same thing. But I think that's the thing that they're going to have to try to figure out is who does Nico work best with. And last night I thought that was Duncan McGuire, to be honest with you. Like, I thought when Duncan came on, it felt more of like, Duncan's going to at least get you in really dangerous positions. And he's so strong.
It felt like they were getting in a lot of positions with Duncan on there, but then it just time ran out.
Yep.
Time ran out. Yep. What was Matt's thoughts of the game?
I think it, you know, he goes, I haven't watched him long. You know, I'm a new fan. And he's like, I think the biggest thing for him, he talked a little bit about the fact that, like, they just seem to be missing that extra pass at the end where it's like getting to a dangerous spot where nobody's running in behind the line. Like there were hardly any, Jordan, there's hardly any balls going over the top of the defense. Like, that's something that Orlando should be doing with the quality strikers. They've got three really good, I think, starting caliber strikers in their team. And, you know, they look so dead sometimes trying to get the ball to them. And some of that's Facundo Torres, I will say.
Yeah, like, that's
he was really bad last night too. Like, I thought he wasn't very good. Just not getting any kind of passes or service into the box.
By the way, New England 3-0 right now.
That's insane.
Okay, Dallas, Montreal. Montreal, they beat Dallas 2-1. That comes as a shock, doesn't it? This is in Dallas.
With all their good players playing again. Pomichol was back.
Yeah.
Ferreira's back.
What, Joseph Martinez scores? Yeah. Moussa scored.
Goal. Yeah, he did.
Right? Score. 45th plus one to equalize it after an early goal by Montreal. And then Joseph Martinez scores. And you're looking at a 2-1 victory by Montreal. They're starting the season with five straight on the road. And they already have 4 points.
That's nuts.
That's a great start for Montreal. Don't know if they'll keep it up, but 4 points away from home to start off the season, that's great. Now, they do have Miami, Chicago, and D.C. They can get another 4 points out of that, honestly. I think they could beat Chicago and draw D.C.
Yeah.
And you're looking at 8 points out of, five matches. That would be a great start for them.
Yeah.
Not to get ahead of ourselves,
but that's above that threshold of that one per game, right?
Yeah.
That teams always talk about. You want to average at least a point a game on the road, and you'd like to be a little bit better if you're a playoff team, but man, that's a good start.
You got to be on their press conference before this game.
I did.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I talked to Nico, and I wanted to know how he would implement Jesus in and around Petar Musa, because Petar Musa occupies pretty much all the spots that Ferreira is going to occupy. So I asked, and you know, last year they did have Ferreira kind of as a second striker, number 10, and I think he's perfectly suited for that role. But I just wanted to see what Nico said, and Nico said, you know, ultimately he is more interested in, and I thought this was a really interesting comment, Jordan, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. His comment was, I like to try to collect as much talent as I can. And if you've got a lot of good attacking players and a lot of attacking talented players, you can find a system in which this works and you can get all of your players in on the pitch at the same time if you just look at the player and personnel that you have, which you and I have talked about multiple times of get them on the pitch and figure out what works.
We usually talk about that with the U.S. men's national team, right?
Yep.
But we talk about it with club teams too. When they come in and try to say, like, look, we're going to rock a 4-3-3, but you have the players that instead are best suited for a 4-2-3-1. And you're like, well, why would we then change that? Right. Well, at that point, I feel like the manager should adapt, not making the players adapt. And that kind of sounds like something right there, right? Like, that's what it sounds like for Dallas. It's all right. We'll figure it out. Just get the best players on here. And I feel like that's what you should do. Oh, we have these players that fit best in this system, or we have these players. How do I get them all on the field? Well, I get them all on the field on this formation. Is it the formation I usually run or would want to run? No, but that's how we're going to win games. Like, if I can fit in three really great players in this formation instead of having to take two of those great players out in another formation, why would I do that? Just because I'm more familiar with that formation. You know, like that has been my biggest complaint about soccer coaches. I feel like you just have to work with what you have at times. You're not going to be, especially in MLS, you're not going to be able to have like a budget like Chelsea to go spend £1 billion on transfers to try to make it fit your style. You have to work with what you got. And I do agree with that line of thinking. Maybe it didn't work today, this week, though.
Yeah, but I think Montreal's caught people by surprise. I think Laurent Courtois has really, I mean, he was the head coach at Crew 2 when they won MLS yeah. Next Pro, and he is a really good coach, and I think you see, because of the youth development that the Crew had, I think you see how good a coach he is. But man, they've shocked a lot of people. Like, nobody thought that Montreal would be sitting in the position that they are currently sitting in. So it really is. It's a testament to what Courtois, I think, has implemented with Montreal. And, you know, honestly, he doesn't have as much to work with that some of the other Eastern Conference teams do. But I think if he puts some of this stuff together, they could challenge for that wild card spot or that bottom of the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to challenge for higher than that, I don't think.
No.
I want to say New England 4-0. Now, by the way.
So it's pretty much over.
Yeah, that third goal was a Shankalai penalty. So he's got another goal.
I was going to say, does he have a hat trick?
I don't know if it's tonight. Does he have a hat trick tonight?
I don't know. I've seen he doubled the score. I don't know if he had two goals.
He's got two. Yeah.
Okay. Gosh, he's been really good so far.
Yeah. So they've got four.
And that's pretty much it. Like that'll do it. Like.
They're at home, though, so just still don't give up a goal. You don't want to give them an away goal that makes them go back to Costa Rica and think they got a shot. So, maybe put another one in. Don't give up another one, and you're sailing 5-0. That'd be great. Sporting Kansas City won. Philadelphia won. Lots of controversy in here, right? So Philly did rotate their team, but also the refs messed this up. All right. And VAR could not overturn it because they would have, and they could have, if they had looked at, if the goal had come off of this, but because it hits off a Philly player and they award a throw in, then Philly got a corner off of that. And then they scored off of the corner. They can only go as far back to the corner to look. So if they had scored off the throw-in, this would have got VAR'd. But because it got scored off the corner that happened after that, there's no way for them to legally like go back and change that. So I do feel sorry for Sporting Kansas City fans, but also I kind of don't, just because it was a good point. It was a good goal. We need it right then at that moment. Bedoya scoring. As he came on at like halftime with Gazdag and Kai Wagner, or as some people might call him, Kurt Wagner, Nightcrawler. They enter the game. But it was like a 94 minute throw in that leads to the corner, that leads to the goal. And they were not very happy in Sporting Kansas City at Children's Mercy Park. That's really all there was to talk about this game, though. I mean, it wasn't much that happened. It was the first goal, and then there was the controversy. Like, the rest of the game was kind of like pretty standard stuff, not too much going on.
I think it's a nice steal for a point with the incredible rotation. I think there were four starting players on the Philadelphia Union side. To not get 3 points against a bunch of the young kids, that's not great.
They're surprising me. This is what you need to do when you're playing CCC.
Yes.
Yep. You need to get points. They got a point in Chicago. They got a point against Sporting. And now they've got a 0-0 draw at home against Pachuca, which gives them a shot in Pachuca. Now, yes, you wanted to steal a goal at home, so that way you have a little bit, but you didn't give up an away goal. So the way that they're balancing the season so far with the rotation and having no Elliott with the red card for leg one was huge. So Curtin's impressing me right now with how he has this team going when I feel like they've gotten another year older. They're struggling a bit more, I think, to get going. Their defense wasn't as good. But remember, this game, no Andre Blake as well in this Sporting Kansas City game. Semla was in there. So, yeah, I mean, just they're impressing me with, like, they've come back in two games, right? They've played two. The Chicago game, they had to come from behind. They had to come from behind in this game. They had to come from behind late in both of these games and then also juggle midweek matches. I'm feeling pretty good as a Union fan right now.
Yeah, I think you should. I think the
controversy aside.
Yeah, well, it happens. Everybody has one of those calls every year. But yeah, I think what you said is right. Like, I think having the Union rotate, get a point with the young kids, getting the young kids exposure in a very difficult place to play, one of the most difficult places to play, I think, in MLS against a team that was really good last year to end the season against the Peter Vermee side, who should have taken advantage of the fact that you were playing a bunch of the kids. I was really impressed with this. And without Andre Blake again. They keep grabbing points without Andre Blake, and that's amazing.
And he's back now, so yeah. they should have, they hold, and guess what? They host Seattle at home without De La Vega. So they have a good shot here. Seattle struggled early this season as well with scoring. Mm-hmm. They have a good shot of picking up 3 points and catapulting themselves back near the top of the East. That would put them with like 5 points if they can beat Philly. I'm waiting to see if I'm getting my credentials for that game or not. So that'd be great. San Jose LA Galaxy 3-1 Galaxy. Paintsill again just playing great. What was that, a goal and assist?
Yes,
just a goal, something like that. Anyway, because he was voted like I think he was like second or third in player of the week voting this week.
I think so, from what I remember. I'm trying to pull up his stats. I thought he had an assist. That's why he was in the mix.
Yeah,
he had an assist.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. He's been great. His goal was great for LA right now. And LA Galaxy, the team that Logan is adamantly rooting against, they are in second place of the West, along with another team that he's adamantly rooting against, the Portland Timbers. So
okay, first of all, I the only reason I would have been rooting against the Galaxy is because I think I picked them for the bottom of the Western Conference, if I can remember correctly.
You did.
Yeah.
Well, that's near the bottom. Only... Oh, no, that's mine. Yeah. Hold on. Sorry. Yeah, you picked them 14.
Yeah. I'm not actively rooting against them. Now, the people that ribbed me for the Portland side, you deserve a loss or two. No, I don't root against teams. Like, I like to see all the teams succeed. I like to just see how the pieces fall. I think that's the coolest thing about MLS. Now, if you're playing against Orlando, obviously I'll root for you, against you that game. But
yeah,
after that, like, I've got no beef with Miami. Like, I'd much rather see Miami succeed because then other players are going to get interested in this league. So having Miami be good is fun for the league.
Yeah, seeing some wild takes that people wish Miami had never brought Messi over. I'm like, yeah, you guys are nuts.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Best player that's ever played, and you're wishing him out of the league. It just doesn't seem.
I get like some of the clubs have been very greedy with like ticket prices and stuff. That's a problem Nashville's going through right now for their league, for the CCC, and Messi's not even playing in that one. They came out and said those players are getting a rest. So it's like, I understand getting upset about ticket prices for that. The club will feel that, though. I really do think the club's going to feel that. If nobody buys these tickets because it's too expensive and Messi's not actually there, they're going to have to start lowering those prices for some of these competitions, because you'd rather have people there than not there, right? Because one of the things the league touts is the atmosphere, and you got to stop screwing over your base. You know, your fans. But Quakes, they lose. They have 0 points out of two games right now. So a -3 goal differential. They're not feeling very good at the start of this season. All right, how about Toronto? They beat New England 1-0. You know, John Herdman has kind of made a difference here, at least enough to get Insigne and the, you know, the whole rest of the team, I guess, interested in actually playing the game and doing well. But yeah, I mean, New England just dominated like the actual possessions and shots and stuff. But Sean Johnson had like six saves, and then they go down there and score a goal. And sometimes that's all it takes. And as Toronto, as much as they struggled last year, you take victories like this and you say, this is how we're going to win games right now. These are games we wouldn't have won last year. And that's important to know and important to think.
Yeah, they look great. I watched that whole game. It was a really interesting game because I thought New England had many chances to equalize, but then Toronto always seemed to have the answer. It did seem like Toronto was the better team. And when Insigne plays like he does, and honestly, Bernardeschi was the biggest surprise to me because he was flying all over the pitch and smiling and having fun. And that's something that we know wasn't going on with Bob Bradley's Toronto team. Like, we know that he and Insigne had basically formed a revolt against Bob Bradley and company, and it caused a divide, obviously, in that locker room. But that seems to be gone now that Michael and Bob are both gone. And John Herdman, Jordan, you and I talked about how great of a coach he is and how great he was with the Canadian national team. And it's coming to fruition. I know you were a lot higher on them because of John Herdman. And, you know, I had some hesitancy because I thought that it could be a disaster with some of the Italian mess ups that were there. But man, they both have turned a corner and look really excited to be here. And I was tweeting about this too. I was like, you know, we talk about LA Galaxy and Paintsill. We talk about Inter Miami and their players. We talk about FC Cincinnati. You know, we talk about Orlando. We talk about Union. We talk about, you know, some of these top teams that we thought were going to be good. Seattle, LAFC, like, we talk about these squads, Jordan, but Toronto has had a really good team. They've just been sitting in the shadows. Like, it's like they hadn't been out there playing their best soccer, but I think John Herdman's got them playing their best soccer, and it really helps that you have a goalkeeper like Sean Johnson.
Yeah, 4 points to start the season here. Eighth place, because teams from second to eighth have 4 points. So, you know, they're doing pretty well. Let's talk the other side of it, New England. Because I got some heat. I got some heat the past few days because I had, I guess, a take that was wild for people. They unveil this new tradition of throwing this crate into the, like, onto the field area, right, at Gillette. And it has the team's logo of who they're playing against. And it's supposed to be like, this is the Boston Tea Party. We're throwing this into the water. I saw so many people say that this is very cringy, blah, 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 blah. I don't think it is. All right? I think this is really cool. Now, was it the best? No, there's some ideas here that they can workshop it. Putting some water or throwing it down and like smoke rises that make it look like water. Anything that can make some people said have the crate break. I saw some people say, why isn't it a real crate? One, a real crate's probably really heavy. They're not going to throw a real crate. I'm sorry. They're just not going to do that. They're going to hurt the person that's throwing it. They're going to get sued. That's why they throw this little dice box cardboard that just bounces. But I think it's cool. I wish teams did more of the stuff that ties in with their city. And before you say Foxborough is not Boston, let me remind you that the kit that they are wearing this year is called the Tea Party Kit, a.k.a. the Boston Tea Party, a.k.a. what they are basing this tradition off of. They're also named the Revolution. Where does that kit name come from? It comes from Boston. All right? So, yes, it ties in with that. It is what it is. I like it. I'm going to be the Joey gif right now where he's eating Rachel's trifle and he's like, I like it. That's me right now when it comes to this tradition. And I hope they workshop it. I hope they make it better. But I just don't see what's cringy about it when you have, if people were doing this in Europe, they would love it. Oh, the fans would love it so much.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I thought it was fun. Other teams are trying other things, and then it's they get fun. Mad when you copy somebody else. Like when you're doing the, I forget what they call it, when you turn backwards and jump up and down. Charlotte does it, but also everybody in Europe does it. I know City does it. Yes. I forget what they call it. It's like that. I forget. But it is. It's like, okay, at least they're trying stuff, right? I think Nashville's got the really cool one with the guitar. And then I saw they were after, I think it was Charlotte that tried that this time, and the Nashville fans were mad. And I don't know. I kudos to teams that try things. I love teams that just try things that are different. That's how Timber Joey, isn't it? That's how he got started.
This is exactly like that. Now, of course, he's cutting a real tree. They would say, well, this would be like him cutting a plastic tree. Yeah. But I mean, come on. It's cool. It's fun to try new things. And guess what? With this feedback, I'm hoping they make it better and not just say, okay, that failed. Don't do it again. Get some input from the fans and try to make this really cool. Again, it's not like they're the Red Sox doing this. They are a team named the Revolution, which started a lot with the Boston Tea Party. That is like a cool connection. Use it. Make it fun. I like it. Hopefully they do it again. Okay, some of the other stuff that happened here. Charlotte is finalizing a deal to sign an Israeli winger, Leal Abada from Celtic. So he would be a young DP. 10 goals, 5 assists last year for Celtic. He's got 10 caps with Israel. CCC teams that played midweek over the last few weeks are now 2-4-8 in MLS, and they have just 13 goals in 14 matches. Benteke was hurt in warmups for the Portland match against DC United. So that wasn't great. Really bad red card for James Sands against St. Louis. Are we concerned at all about, yes, I'm going to call them this, NYCFC?
Don't call them that.
I'm calling them that. CDFC. We go wild here. All right. I'm calling them.
No, that's, no, you can't say that either. That's MLS gone wild. We'll trademark him too. Jordan, they did release their stadium plans. It's called the Cube. It actually looks really good. I was really impressed. Honestly, it gives me a little Geodis Park combined with lower.com little TQ. Like, I actually like the look of it. I think they're trying something. Yeah, and I mean, it's the screen, isn't it? You don't like the screen. You don't like the boxiness of it, do you?
It's like fine. It's just, this is not how it's going to look. None of these renderings happen like this. It's going to look worse than this, all right? It just will. It's like when you look at the Athletics just shared their Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah, the Sydney Opera House. Yeah.
It's going to look like a worse version of that.
That's true, I guess. I was just giving them benefit of that. I will say though, soccer's easier because it's not as complicated, I think, as some of these baseball ones that look ridiculous.
I just hope that it happens, that they actually start working on this soon, so we can actually have them in a good stadium and not in a baseball stadium.
Yeah. But are you worried about the team?
Yes. This team is they have zero points. Yes, I'm worried. I'm more worried about them than the Revs, who also have 0 points.
Right.
Or Atlanta, who has 0 points. NYCFC, we were kind of worried about going into the season to begin with. Mm-hmm. And I look at people like at the rebranding thing yesterday, and people are like, okay, well, rebrand the coach. Like, those were the comments from NYCFC fans and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about them and just the vibes. This kind of happens sometimes, though, when teams are getting stadiums. They tend to cut back because they're building the stadium, and then they'll probably retool in time for the stadium.
That's a good point.
You know, I remember when... Who was it before? I remember there was a time when a football team or somebody was... Oh, no, it was Arsenal when they were building the Emirates, I believe. They, cut back on... Same thing with Tottenham. They had to end up starting, that's when they kind of started blowing it up, so that way they could, because they also had to worry about building Tottenham Hotspur Stadium instead of White Hart Lane, which they were using before, so they started selling, Gareth Bale, and they ended up not buying as many players, stuff like that, because they had to try to stay afloat with like the books that way. So I do wonder if that's maybe part of what NYCFC is doing here, where they're like, well, we're building this new stadium, we're not going to put as much money in right now, and we'll just kind of rebrand like you're supposed to do when you're struggling.
Yeah. The Pigeons. And Santi Rodriguez got into it with Cushing and staff over on the sideline. He got pulled. James Sand lost his head. Like, it just, it doesn't seem like it's going well in New York, Jordan.
-3 goal differential. They have yet to score. Atlanta is yet to score. Right. Orlando is yet to score. NYCFC has yet to score in MLS.
Yeah. Atlanta's only played one match, though. We'll give them.
Yeah, they're fine. Orlando's played
two.
Yet to score.
Yeah. Don't give them credit. All the pressure in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. The Revs have scored. They haven't won, though. They're still sitting. They have two losses. You were saying they looked good, Revs, against
Toronto. Yeah, they look good. Yeah. And they look good in CONCACAF. Like, they look really good.
I know, you know. 4-0.
Yeah. But I thought that their attack, look, Sean Kalai looks like the real deal. And Heal's been great. So once they get Dylan Barrero back, oof, that's a strong attacking force.
So we're kind of running out on time. So let's go ahead and just breeze through these. Vancouver, Charlotte, 1-1. Tavares had his first goal in MLS for Charlotte. Charlotte played pretty well after the 60th minute, barely kept Vancouver from doing much of anything. This was Vancouver's first game of the season, so they might take a little bit to get going. Cincy beat Chicago 2-1. Wait, are you kidding me? This is their first victory on the road?
Yep.
What?
I know. I thought it was weird too. But yeah.
Where'd you read that? Is that in their press stuff?
I believe it was in either their press or one of the article, like their article online. So wait, it's their first, earned their first major league event for the first time in club. No, that's not right.
Okay.
What did I write? That's not right. I don't know what I tried to, like, it must have been pulled off of something else. I don't know what that is. No, that's not right.
I was going to say, they've had to have win road games.
I don't know what I was trying to say.
Warriors killed winners last year.
Maybe it was, I don't know if they trailed. I can't remember. I'm not even going to try to guess what that note is.
That's right. Aaron Bupenza made his first MLS start of the season. We had Shaqiri had a PK to equalize at 1-1. Miles Robinson scored. There you go with that. Since he had most of the control in that match. Red Bull 2 over Houston. Houston had a lead, I believe, right? Yeah, and then Red Bull scored in the 43rd minute, and then Lewis Morgan scoring in the 59th. So Red Bull will continue their hot start to the season. St. Louis beat NYCFC 2-0, and this is, you know, NYCFC starting with 0 points in the season. We kind of talked about them enough. St. Louis is kind of back on the right path. Your third place in the West in their second season right now, 4 points. They're tied for first, technically. Just need, because of goal differential and goals for, that they're in third. But, you know, they're still alive for that. Colorado 1, Nashville 1. Nashville's been very disappointing. So is Colorado, but that's expected usually. Nashville's been more disappointing. And Portland 2, DC 2. This was Portland scoring 2-0, and I was like, man, this game might be over. And then in comes DC to fall their way back.
Like we all predicted.
DC, second place in the East, just like we all thought. And then Seattle 0, Austin 0. That was the game I was watching, of course, at the time, and it was a 0-0 draw.
I was so excited for that match when it came up on the schedule, and then as time went on, I was like, I'm not so excited about this match anymore.
I really thought Seattle would win that game, but they've had some trouble scoring. And now they're gonna have
out. Yeah, they're going to have some major problems now.
Now they have to travel cross-country to Philly.
Yeah.
It's gonna be tough. All right, let's look at the conferences so far. Miami sits top of the East, 7 points. No losses. They have 8 goals. Only given up one. We are worried about their defense. They've only given up one goal, Miami. DC sits second with 4 points. Columbus in third with 4. Montreal in fourth with 4. Red Bulls in fifth with 4. Cincy in sixth with 4. Charlotte in seventh with 4. Toronto in eighth with 4. Then you got Philly in ninth with 2. Nashville in tenth with 2. Chicago with 1. Orlando with 1. Those teams are in 11th and 12th place. Atlanta, New England, and New York City sit 13th, 14th, 15th with 0 points. In the West, Portland, top of the West, 4 points. LA Galaxy in second with 4. St. Louis in third with 4. RSL in fourth with 4. Minnesota in fifth with 4. Then you have Dallas in sixth with 3 points. LAFC in seventh with 3. SKC in eighth with 2. Vancouver, after one game, is in ninth with 1. Then you have Houston with 1. Seattle with 1. Austin with 1. Colorado with 1. Those teams are in 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. And then San Jose, bottom of the West, with 0 points. Logan, if I'm going to throw it to you, if one of these 0-point teams are going to win the wooden spoon, who do you got? We got San Jose, Atlanta, New England, and NYCFC.
I literally thought you were going to say the Supporters Shield. I was like,
No, they're going to win the wooden spoon.
Yeah, they're going to win it. Out of the 4 teams with 0 points currently, I'd say NYCFC, honestly. I think the Quakes will kind of right ship and get back towards the bottom of that playoff mix like they normally do. NYCFC, man, I don't think they've got any exciting attacking players that I'm just like over the moon thrilled with. And I think that's part of their issue, is just not having anybody that looks like they're going to be a dangerous threat going forward. They've lacked a lot of just discipline on the pitch and off the pitch. I think they've got some issues with no trust and Nick Cushing. And I think that's, you know, once that sours, we've seen how that goes. Once he's out, I think they start to figure out what's going on. And I could see them pitching this as like, oh, New York City's going to find the next coach. You know, he's going to be the next guy. And Ronnie Dyla supposedly is on the hot seat over where he is. I forget exactly which team he's with. So that might be a good hire back to kind of correct the ship and get ready for your new stadium. But yeah, Jordan, out of the teams, I think this is the team that I'd be most concerned with, just because even with some of their attacking players that I think that they put out there, I think some of them are even in danger of not being there much longer anyway. So yeah, I'm disappointed in what NYCFC have done and continue to do.
I'm kind of worried about San Jose.
Are you?
Yeah. They had a hot start last year and then struggled, and now they're kind of doing the opposite. I worry if they can get into the playoffs if they continue to struggle at the beginning here. They'll have to reverse last year at this point. Have a slow start, have a hot finish.
Yep.
All right, so coming up this weekend, we have NYCFC and Portland at 2 o'clock. Also at 2. I don't know why they're doing 2 games at 2 o'clock. Stop this. 1 at 2, 1 at 4. Let's get this right. Why do I have to choose between 2 games at 2 o'clock and then nothing until 7:30? That's dumb. Okay, 2 o'clock, NYCFC, Portland. Then free on Apple TV. And the reason they gave you this one free is because they thought this was not going to be a good game. But now we're looking at the standings and we're like, this might be good. Toronto, Charlotte. Atlanta's going to play their second game of the season against New England. That's at 7:30. That means one of those teams is going to have a point at the end of it. So we'll see. At least 1 point. Somebody might have 3. Columbus, Chicago at 7:30. That is also free. New York Red Bulls, Dallas, Orlando, Minnesota, Philly, Seattle. Those are all 7:30 kickoffs. Austin, St. Louis at 8:30. RSL and Colorado at 9:30. That one's free. LAFC, Kansas City at 10:30. And San Jose, Vancouver at 10:30. That one is free. Then on Sunday, we have Cincinnati, D.C. at 3 o'clock. Nashville, L.A. at 3 o'clock. Again, space these out. 1 at 1, 1 at 3. Like, come on. Miami and Montreal at 5. Any thoughts about that? Do you agree that they should space these out? I don't know why we're doing two at 2 o'clock and then nothing until 7:30.
Yeah, no, I don't like that at all. And I looked at the Orlando schedule today. They don't play a game before 6:30 Eastern time in MLS this year, I think. Which sucks.
Wow, so they're
like,
not.
I actually like their afternoon games. Yeah, like I actually like the afternoon games, and I agree with you. I think there should be 2, 4, and then 7:30. Gives you an hour and a half in between, roughly. So,
yeah, because the 4 o'clock one will end around 6, and you have an hour and a half to relax. Why do I have to have multi-screen on at 2 o'clock? Right. What's so special about 2 o'clock? Why are we doing 2 o'clock for two games?
Yeah,
and then nothing until 7:30. They did it right, like week one. I think it was like 2, 4, 7. Mm-hmm. You're like, all right, this makes sense. And now this week they're like, nope, 2 2 o'clock games. They tried to do that this Sunday when they did last Saturday when they did the LAFC game with RSL at 2 o'clock at the same time Columbus and Minnesota for week two. I don't understand what they're doing. This will be match day 4, by the way, even though it's week 3. So try figuring that out. Before we head out here, just wanted to give everybody an update that New England is still winning 4-0. So that's probably how it's going to finish by the time we're done this. Houston Columbus is playing tonight. Cincy Monterey on Thursday, and Nashville Miami on Thursday at 9 o'clock for CCC, which we talked about on another episode we released on Monday. We also released our thoughts on the U.S. Open Cup format that was released on Sunday, so make sure you check that out and disagree or agree with us, whatever one you want to do. Anything on your end, Logan, before we wrap it up?
No, it's been great having MLS back. I'm so excited. Because it really have. I think this year is going to turn out to be a really fun year. I'm excited to get it going further into the get out of CONCACAF. You know, like I love CONCACAF, but I like to see when teams come out of that, when everybody's firing it at all.
Yeah.
With all cylinders at each other. That's fun.
Yeah. So I guess I'll plug some stuff here. Logan and I just, as we've been doing every week, except last week, have been releasing episodes of our chronological Clone Wars watch over on our Star Wars podcast, Pod Awakens, where we watch the Clone Wars in chronological order, Logan's first time watching it, and a rewatch for me. And then we discuss these episodes in batches, about 3 to 5 episodes a week that we're talking about. You can follow along with us on that. You know, I've been I just released an MCU villains draft over on To the Infinity Saga and Beyond, where we draft villains from the MCU, exactly as it sounds like. And then you can make sure to vote who had the best draft on that, which, you know, not much goes to the winner, but bragging rights. So I would appreciate if you like my team. But we don't tell you whose team is who on the graphic when we do the poll, because sometimes people just vote based on name. And that's not fun. Vote for the best team. Over on our Elseworlds podcast, which is DC Comics, we talked the new Superman suit. They released what the shield looks like on that by James Gunn. So we had a great conversation on that. Over on Elseworlds, a DC fan podcast. That's about all of the podcasts that I am doing right now. I've been doing films for the very first time with Casey, and we recently released our Mr. and Mrs. Smith episode. Not the TV show, but the movie with Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie. It was my first time watching that. I share my thoughts over there. That's it. Make sure on here, Stateside Soccer Show, you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also rate and review us on Apple Podcast and Spotify nowadays. You can also leave us a review just letting us know how we're doing. We appreciate those. It helps more people find the podcast. Yeah, that's about it. Have a great rest of your week. We will catch you next time when we talk about match day 4.